A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.
I'm Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and we're having a night in.
With my great friend. Welcome, Paul Carrington. Hey, Paul. Great to see you again, man.
Third time in a month.
I know. You've been around a bit, haven't you, this last couple of 3 weeks? Fantastic. Good to see you again, man. Good to spend some time.
Yeah, I'm bringing my suitcase next time.
Yeah, well, you could do.
I'm moving
you
in.
You spent enough time in my bed anyway, didn't you? You know.
Yeah, it's getting a bit worrying when you bring that up. Two out of 3 weeks.
No, I weren't in it, though. I weren't in it. It was you in the bed, I'm on the floor.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do, actually. Yeah, I remember that.
You sleeping in my bed.
And I can't remember the girl's name, but I remember you being on the floor.
No, I can't remember the girl's name. No. No, I remember a girl called Susan. Very strange.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, dear, oh, dear.
Yeah, I'll try not to remember the surnames.
That's for another.
They might be happily
that's
married
for another
now.
Even.
They're probably happily married now, and their husbands wouldn't like to hear about their wives.
Just as well. You never know. They might be listening in to the show.
Remember the parties at the pool at late night, you know, when we put the benches and swim at night and
nude
great
swimming.
Great time. Nude swimming.
Yeah, I remember all that.
Yep. Medical room girlfriends.
I do.
I remember some
all
of
that.
The sayings. I used to walk around and go, "Can you do a length on your back?" And they go, "Of course we can." I said, "I'm not on about swimming."
There was a medical room, weren't
there? The medical room was a great place.
Yeah, bloody hell. Dear. I couldn't remember that. Anyway, here we are again for another
19. Here we are again.
And you've got some good tracks this week.
Some crackers on.
Dear, oh dear. I mean,
you've been digging them up for me.
Oh, well, I mean, there's one of your favourite tracks in here, I know, Isley Brothers track.
Oh, brilliant. This track sums up me and you and the summer of 76.
Yeah, so is that when it was, 76?
Well, the song was before that, but it was played mostly on our...
Yeah, the hot summer, wasn't
it? And the hot summer of 76,
really
75, 76. Yeah. It sums us up for that couple of years doing that. It is that summer song. It just reminds me of all the bikinis and the...
Yeah, you always got lots of people putting this on the jukebox, didn't
you? Yeah, you did all
that.
The time.
Yeah.
It was just such a... It was the perfect song.
I think we should play that. Let's open the show with that, I think.
Go on then, give it.
Go on, there you go.
I mean, just the opening of this song just reminds me... I can close my eyes and walk around the pool.
Yeah, relive.
I can walk around,
every
the sun shining down.
Yeah.
All the beautiful bikini-clad girls.
Yeah. It was a bark, weren't it?
It was. It was such a hard thing to get paid for doing, wasn't it?
Dear. How did we ever get involved in that?
And funny enough, one of the funniest memories was some kid was sort of struggling or drowning, basically. He was about 4 years old. And I remember diving in, and I think you dived in from the other side, but we got the kid out, and his mother said she was ever so grateful. And 3 weeks later, they came back to the pool. He wouldn't go in the water. And
I do remember this.
His mother said, "He'll go in with you."
Yeah, that's
because,
it.
Because we saved him. Yeah. He trusted me. I said,
"I do remember."
So
that.
I got him in my arms and I run and jumped over the side into the 4 or 5 foot. But just before I got there, my foot caught the step and I flung him out of my arms. He did a double somersault and landed on his back. And his mother started slapping me. And I still had to dive in and get him.
I tell you what, I do remember when the county school girls used to tip up. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
Passes? Dear, oh, dear. Hey? And in the rain. Then they used to come in the rain and do it for the lessons. Do you remember?
I remember when me and you stood under the boards telling some woman off whose kids couldn't swim very well.
Yeah, I remember that time.
She was going, "I'm a swimming instructor." And then I said, and you said, "We get paid for it in here. If something goes wrong, you won't say that you told us to go away,"
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And she went, "Oh, we'll do this, no, we'll do that." And then some kid got in trouble behind me and you said, "Excuse me, I just have to say."
I do remember that. Yeah,
and
pulled
you had
the
to
old
dive
boy
in.
Out. Yeah.
I said, "Now, does that make a point that we're wasting our time talking to you? Because while we're talking to you, somebody else could drown," and you went, "Excuse me."
I do remember.
And you had to dive in.
That was a bit of a Superman moment.
Yeah, it was a Superman moment. It just happened perfectly. A perfect example. She took her kids out straight away. I said, you said they got to go past the 6 foot,
stay in the shallow end. Yeah, that's it, shallow end. Yeah,
that was it. Yeah, that's one of the memories.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I remember that ever so well.
They were busy times, weren't they, midsummer?
Massive. Oh, I think we had 4,000 people in one Sunday or Saturday. It was fantastic.
That was busy. It was.
Well, the summer was a long, wasn't it? 17 weeks of pure sunshine.
Yeah, no rain. Was there nothing?
We opened on April 30th or something. It was ridiculously early. We opened.
It was, wasn't it? And there was water shortages, weren't there? Because they got water standing pipes in.
There was no time limit on how long you could stay in, and we had thousands there and queues outside for miles.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I remember having a Ford pop car, old grey one, a 1954, 55 pop. And we hand painted it bright blue, marine blue and yellow wheels. As it was, the only paint we could nick from the Lido. Marine blue paint. And we hand painted it with 6-inch paint brushes. Brush strokes, but it was our love bug.
Oh, bugger, man. Great, man. Wonderful times.
That was a great memory, that was.
Christ, it was hot that year.
This song just epitomises it.
Yeah, I think it does, yeah. Yeah, I've never kind of associated it with that period, but...
Sunshine. Summer breeze just...
Yeah, there weren't a lot of breeze, though, that year. It was dead heat. Corruption.
And I remember all the people who got sunburned, but we didn't. And that's when we learned that the way not to get sunburned was to dive in, get wet, and walk.
Yeah.
Walk yourself dry. Yeah. You got a perfect suntan, because the wind tanned you, not the sun. The sun burns. All the people laying still burn.
Bloody
if you walk round in the sun, as soon as you feel hot, dive in the water and cool off.
Yeah, yeah.
Come out. My daughter said, what was it
good
like?
Summer.
I said, well, I wore a pair of red trunks and a whistle.
You did? It was wet red.
Red trunks and a whistle.
Yeah, I do remember the red
trunks. Boxer short trunks for us, so we walked round with a whistle. I said it was the greatest pulling couple of years ago.
I know what. I mean, needing to get in and get people out, I scrapped off no end of pairs of shades. I think I lost
shades all the time.
And cigarettes as well. No end of
and
them.
And at the time, the pool supplied the shades because they supplied us with them, the early days, them reactor light shades, so we could see through the sheen on the water.
I think I bought all mine, I'm sure I did. But I scrapped off about 5 pairs.
Yeah, well, you had to have them because you couldn't see the pool otherwise with the sheen on it.
No. Apparently, I couldn't see much without my shades anyway. But
we were England's Baywatch boys.
Yeah, we were. The Hoff.
We were the Baywatch boys. You're the Hoff. No, Chris Allen was the Hoff. Chris Allen was the Hoff or Chris Smith block.
Dear, oh dear. That was a great track. Good track. Good track.
It was a classic.
This was another wonderful album that I was listening a lot to around this period. With a really good friend of mine, I mentioned him, I think, a couple of weeks ago when you were around, a guy called Pete Bindham.
Pete Bindham.
Yeah, this whole album. See if you recognise it. Who it is.
Going back in my memory.
Difficult. You'll have to know the album, really, to know who it is and what it's from. This whole album, I listened to the thing about 5 or 6 times back to back when I first worked out in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I had a 5-hour stopover in Holland for the air change, and I just listened to the album back to back to back 4 or 5 times while I was killing time sitting in the airport. Skip on.
Oh God, yeah, sitting in airports. When I was doing the security work, people say it used to be glamorous. I go, not really. And there's a friend of mine does it now. He's 20 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Well, he does it now. He said, I've got the message. He said, I've just had my 54th McDonald's at an airport on a trip around the world. Because that's what you do.
Oh,
You know, you just end up at all these airports.
Yes, a twat and Donald's.
That's the glamorous. VIP lounge, but I'll have a McDonald's.
This is a wonderful track. Wonderful album. With the exception of one track on the album, which I just cannot stand.
This week's cake. Looks like a cow packed with nuts in it. What is it?
We're introducing this week's cake. Yeah. As we're in that corner mellow period, where we've got a lovely intro coming in, we can talk over it openly.
Yeah.
We've got a traditional Norfolk plum cake.
A traditional Norfolk plum?
Yeah, it's a bit of a special thing. They do things like that in Norfolk, as they do in the UK period, various different counties, but... You know, like Yorkshire tea cake and stuff like that, which is really, it's great.
I was in Yorkshire last year.
Oh, I love Yorkshire. Wonderful place.
We went to Esholt, or the real Emmerdale farm.
Yeah.
We had dinner in the Woolpack.
Yeah. I remember you saying.
And then a couple of days later, we went to Holmfirth, which is Last of the Summer Wine.
Yeah, I know Holmfirth very well.
Yeah, we went there for Last of the Summer Wine. Place. We had a burger and chips in Sid's Cafe.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's still there.
Yeah. Wonderful. Holmfirth,
we went on the longest canal journey under the tunnel.
Yeah.
Through there.
Yeah.
And then we went to the Yorkshire...
Sculpture Museum.
Sculpture Park. There's all out in the countryside. Yeah. Stunning things. Although some modern sculptures do get me. There was like chicken pens. Bent over chicken pens. There was about 20 of them. Someone's called it art.
Modern
sculptures are quite light.
Yeah. Well, there's all that discussion around art, and there really is, you know, on what people conceive it to be
A couple of years ago, when I was in Bilbao, went out on the motorbikes, went to the Guggenheim, which is a stunning museum.
Yeah.
And there's a picture there, it's 12 by 12 inches square. It's black. Nick, it's a black square.
Yeah.
It's a foot square and it's black. Yeah. It's a piece of... The lifetime of art. Someone's paid thousands for this.
Well, it is what it is, isn't it? I
could have done it with a 4-inch paintbrush in 3 sweeps. But no one's going to give me thousands for it. Sounds like a yellow or something.
Any idea who it is?
No. Who is it?
It's Reg.
Reg?
Elton John.
Is it? I would have never guessed. Not in a million years.
Funeral for a Friend.
Yeah. I remember now you said Funeral for a Friend.
First
track. I'd have never got that as a guess.
Side one, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yellow Brick Road. I like the Yellow Brick Road, that was a good track. Reg.
great album. He made some awesome music at this time, he did.
He's got a great writer with him, isn't he? Bernie,
he had with Bernie. But this rubbish that he knocks out now, but nah, hit it on the edge, you know. Well,
sometimes I think modern groups run out of ideas, but they don't, because everyone's played practically everything you can think of.
Yeah.
So they've got to improvise now to come up with something different.
Great kick drum.
They can use a drum machine to get the thing with it. What do you play most of now then?
What, listening to?
Yeah.
I've been listening to an awful lot of stuff, you know, putting the shows together.
Yeah, putting the shows together.
The compilations. I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time listening to the Ground Dogs again over the recent month, 5-6 weeks, you know. Bit of this. Had a bit of the Foo Fighters the other night. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. Fleetwood Mac. Again, researching for this,
really.
You know, it's great because it. A lot of the time you don't have the time, do you, to listen to music in the true way and sense that it should be listened to, which is essentially on your own or with a close friend, you know, and you're just absorbing what's going on. But with this, having the need to put these shows together, I tend to do them at night, you know, works for me. I couldn't do it in the day.
No, you're too busy for the day.
And also, you don't have the vibe. I think it's better to put a night show together at night. Because it's all about creating the atmosphere. You know, so I do it at night. So I can listen into the early hours, you know, no end of the bloody stuff.
I'm lucky in my place. I've got a little alcove where I have a computer room. I can play the music I like, Dire Straits or whatever. I can play it really loud. It's not going to affect anybody around. Actually, the sound of my motorbike's a really good sound. Yeah. It's got a great bumble to it when you're out in the yard. Sometimes I just listen to it before I go out and I think, That really does sound cool.
Yeah, well, it thumps through you as well.
It's got that nice. I don't like so much the modern stuff because you need 10,000 revs to move.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine still has that thumper feel.
Yeah.
That nice chilled out banging feel. Anyway, it was funny. I was talking about the waistcoat when I came the other week. I've got a skull on the back made of cobwebs, smoking a joint, wearing a top hat. So he says, "Are you ever going to grow up?" I said, "Not really."
It's not the way forward.
You mean I'm
it?
Not 21 again?
Growing up is not the way forward.
Nah. I'm going to grow old when I'm dead. And I've got a long time to study it. So why did you cut your Levi's in half and for your shorts?
Well, basically because
the knees had gone.
Well, that's really it. Yeah. The knees go certainly in Levi's or Lee jeans, and you know, I mean, they don't make Levi jeans like they used to. And these, I tend to hang on to my things
a little bit
a
because
long
of work
time.
And all. Because you're always kneeling down on one side and the other to get angle shots for the photographs.
Yeah.
So you keep catching them and scratching them out.
Yeah, you do. You do. But I quite fancy. I was talking to somebody the other week about this. You know, I used to have a really special. You must have seen them. A special pair of Levi jeans that I used to call me festival jeans.
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Yeah.
And these things, they never used to come out unless I was going to a gig. And then every band I'd seen
was on them.
Was written on them. And they were patched to high heaven. And, well, cut a long story short, my cousin, I had a cousin, well, still got a cousin, called Annie, I was very close to, and she used to patch them all up for me. With the leather on them and all that. And as they split, I used to rip, Annie, I'll drop her over.
Put another patch over.
Yeah. And she used to sit there making her hands bleed, repairing my Levi's, you know. It was wonderful, wonderful.
It was the way, wasn't it? Because we all had to cut off Levi's.
Oh, yeah.
And with the patches which your mum or your sister cut out
my mum couldn't do it. That's why I used to get the
Nowadays, cousin. You just buy them off the internet. Ready, done.
Yeah,
but it's
that's
not
nonsense,
the same.
Though. No.
You know, and I bought a leather waistcoat I don't know, 20 years ago from a BMF rally. I've still got it. But the patch, the skull, that came direct from a firm, you know. Whereas when we were young, you'd have had to have someone make it.
Oh,
well.
Or paint it, which is what
paint
we used
it
to
on.
Do it on the back
originally,
of leather.
We painted the Hells Angels on leather.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because no one had a leather waistcoat. There were no leather waistcoats for bikers. You had a leather jacket and you had a Levi or cut-off denim jacket over the top. That was the way it was done. The modern leather waistcoats are a very modern thing in biker gang circles. But that's how it came about.
No, I was speaking to this person the other week. I thought, shit, I'd really like to do that again. I'd like to do some, not festival jeans, but I'd like to do something as distressed as that, but create it myself, you know.
Yeah, I'd lost the point there for a second. What I was going to say, when you had them patch jeans, we all had that slight flare on the bottom of sea dogs.
Yeah, that's
it. Do you remember
the
sea dog?
Yeah, I do.
So you go over your motorbike boots.
That's it. Yeah.
Amazing.
They were great.
Sea dogs were brilliant.
Little head dog's head on the back.
Yeah, sea dog jeans,
Absolutely.
They went
brilliant.
Over your motorbikes. My old boots had fell apart, and then one of my friends, Polly, gave me a pair of her dad's, and they're like 1978 or 1980 Lewis leathers. I've still got them my boots.
Are you really?
Yeah. I've still got the same boots.
I haven't got
40 years on, still got them.
My race boots, I sold them, and I still got all the full leathers, still got all them. But I haven't got my race gloves, my Barry Sheen race gloves, I ain't got them anymore, which is a bit of a shame. They were turquoise.
Well, your helmet's
blue.
Still...
Oh, yeah, still good. Padding's all gone, though, which is a bit... I daredn't touch it, because all the inside just falls out, you know. Just rotted away, man. It's a real shame.
This is just the epitome of greatness.
Yeah.
Bing! This has just really got it. At a live show, when he does this, it's just electric. It's just got that magic to it.
What's this about for you? What's this track about for you? What's it
Well, it's exactly what he said it is, because he said himself, he said, I was in an electric store in New York or whatever. He said, and you're buying a toaster or whatever, you know, like you do. He said, and there was a couple of lads, meatheads as he called them, walking around with a trolley, you know, bringing in refrigerators.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He said, but the store had an MTV on the TV. He said, and one of the meatheads was just saying, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing, look. Chicks for free.
Yeah.
He said, so I went and got a pen and paper and I wrote down what these meatheads were talking when they were loading. And that's where the song come from.
Great. Alec, great.
I've always wondered if he ever sent them a letter saying, would you like some of the royalties?
I'm sure he would have done that, yeah.
Well, I'm sure he could have trapped him to a drink out at night. Hasn't it? But that's exactly how Martin Offer said he got the song.
It's just wonderful. What a great story.
He said the MTV was on, you know, showing something.
Yeah.
He said, and the blokes moving refrigerators were going, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing, chicks for free. I wish I'd learned to play the guitar.
I ain't seen MTV for ages. I think it's dog shit now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the same now. I think this was the first music video that was done in that way it was done.
Yeah, with the effects. Yeah.
Actually, a great performance of this was at Live Aid when Sting was on with him.
Yeah.
We got to move these refrigerators. To move these color TVs. I wish I could play this, but I can't.
Well, again, you know, I listened again for the show because I knew you'd got you Dire Straits fan, and I knew there was quite a lot of tracks, Dire Straits tracks, that were in the playlist, and you kind of get ensconced, don't you?
Listening to the stuff, it pulls you in.
And there's not a lot about this band that you could ever say, I'm not that keen on that.
No, there ain't.
You know,
there's a couple
Twisting
of...
by the Pool may be a bit of a...
There's an album fillers, Noffa called them.
Yeah, well, they are, aren't they?
There's a song called The Bug and something else in one of his albums, Not Fade Away, which is a great blues track, but there's a couple of album fillers, as he calls them, you know.
Yeah.
But do you know when he first wrote Calling Elvis, that was going to be an album filler.
Yeah, you see, I don't like that.
I don't like the track.
No, I don't.
But it went up to be a number one hit.
Yeah.
And that's only got a couple of chords, and but it's not my scene at all.
No, it's not.
And
no,
I don't think...
I'm not that keen.
That's a bit like I.O. Silver Lining for Jeff Beck. You know what I mean? It's But it suddenly became a hit. Calling Elvis became a big hit.
No,
Really ain't a rock track.
No, that and Twisting by the Pool, really,
they get
at my crevice, they do.
I actually believe, I like Dire Straits more than most bands, but I tend to like certain songs from certain bands.
Yeah.
You know, you're a huge Pink Floyd fan, but I like Comfortably Numb, The Wall, Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
But I don't like everything they do. You know, so if I make a CD for my car, I only have the tracks on it from certain bands.
Well, that's the nice thing, isn't it, about today? I mean, I know people, a lot of modern day, the way we listen to music, streaming, and certainly, iTunes, that, oh, Christ, no, you have to buy a track. But let's be honest, you used to spend days, weeks making compilation tapes,
didn't you?
Oh! For your bloody, for your bedroom, or certainly for your car.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you all had them old tape machines. Man. And it was a nightmare when it went wrong.
You've been there for about 3 days. Put the fucking tape in.
It screwed the tape.
You know, so how can you knock the system of today? I don't know. You know, MP3s, mate. It's the way forward. It is.
You're talking to a dinosaur now.
Yeah, I know.
MP3,
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Digital files is basically what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can sit here and you can play anything you want. You know, it's bloody gaga, man. You know, I won't live the length of time it would take for me to listen to every single
thing.
Funny
enough,
one of my friends,
Julian, said that. Jill said to me, he said, your old computer, he said, it's got 320 gigabytes of whatever memory or whatever. He says, and you're filled at 120th. He said, you won't live long enough to fill the rest.
Exactly.
He said, it may be slow, but I said, it feels like dial-up. Compared to modern ones, it's like
welcome
dial-up.
Welcome to the modern UK. Dial-up broadband.
He said, if you've got a new one, he said, for $200 or $300 now, they've got a terabyte of life.
Yeah,
and he said, your grandchildren could be using it. It's still...
Oh, yeah, so just quite, and be down.
Yeah, it would still be there, wouldn't it? I said, I think I've got more than 2,000 photographs and 800 songs. He said, it's used nothing, 17 gigabytes. No.
I think it's 10,000 tracks.
Yeah.
That we downloaded to this couple of weeks back.
You'd have to go on a motorbike trip around the world to listen to them all.
Yeah, but isn't it bloody marvellous, man? Your whole music collection in your phone, in your dog, you know? I mean, it's wonderful. Wonderful. How can you knock that, you know?
I don't have any music on my phone because I don't use it when I'm riding or anything like that. I have it all on my computer, though, so all the records are just shoved out of sight. CDs, you know. You never need to take them out, do you? They're boxed and left.
Yeah.
You just leave them.
Yeah, I mean, well, literally, the vinyl that I've got, which is not that much of it now, because I had massive, massive sale of it. I had thousands of albums, and sold them all off. But they were as good as the day I bought them. They were.
I've only got a few. I found Rick Wakeman one. I found the Cat Stevens one as well.
Which one?
Oh, the first one, I think. And I've still got the lyrics with it and everything inside it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name at all, but I found it in amongst one of the boxes.
Yeah,
Cat Stevens. But that's brilliant.
Certainly, I mean the covers and that now.
The Hendrix Experience one.
Yeah, I've still got mine of that. We'll just go here. You don't introduce this. You just go there.
Are we going to try a slice of this regurgitated? Cowpat.
Our Norfolk plum. Carve it up, man.
Norfolk plum is regurgitated cowpat by the look of it, but we'll risk it.
That'd be good.
Are you not going to carve?
No, you carve.
I carved the last one. I've just been playing that outside. This suits me as well, actually, this song, because let's try a bit of this.
Wonderful.
Looks like a ginger cake, doesn't it?
Be nice, Paul.
Will it?
Yeah. Marvellous. Thank you, mate. Top draw. Guest cake.
Guest cake.
For show 6 of a night in. With my very special friend, Paul Carrington. And a bit of Pink Floyd.
A bit of Pink Floyd. I was playing that outside in the studio earlier. Although I don't get the entire intro correct because I think there's two guitars and one in the background. This brings back memories. So you think you can tell? It's a popular request on open mic nights.
Oh, yeah.
People love it. A lot of youngsters love it as well. It's just one of those tracks that transcends the timeline. Rubber Bear.
It does. That is great.
Who exchange? Walk on part in the world.
That is a shit kicking cake, guys.
Funny enough, this reminds me of the swimming pool as well. This reminds me of just floating along in the pool.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, and now I think of that. You were the king of the breaststrokers.
Yeah, I was.
And butterfly. Butterfly and the breaststroke.
There's many women that had reinforced that statement.
Yeah, we can't name any of them. Many of them, yeah. The butterfly and the breaststroke.
Smut, dear boy, smut.
Smut, yeah. There were some beautiful women around for us then. So you were here. It's just got that great ambience to it. It's just a great track.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I had one of my great friends around, a guy called Chris Moore, who he's a fellow presenter, should I say, but he works full-time in radio. And we've done a lot of shows together, and his favourite album is, like mine, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. And we kind of visited a lot of, you know...
Dark Side of the Moon's a great album.
Oh.
I had the tape of that somewhere.
Really? On cassette?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Don't know where it is now, but I know I had it.
God's teeth, wonderful.
Yeah, Dad.
Now, all that stuff of mine's gone. It's all gone. We've binned it off.
You know, when you put them on the CD and when you can put them...
Well, this is it. We're
the... You tend to throw all away, you know. Sometimes I'm sure they'd be worth a few bob now, but I must have chucked loads of tapes away that were good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, where do you put all this shit, though? That's what it...
Well, you don't need to put it anywhere now. It's on a little box.
Yeah.
It's done, isn't it?
Yeah,
in fact, I used to have, like, loads of photograph albums, you know, all the times.
Yeah.
And when I first got them, because they were the old camera-style roll film, you had to scan them individually.
Yeah, each day.
And I had thousands of photographs on the floor in my flat, and I was trying to put them in decades. You know, I couldn't get them into years of everything, so I tried to think they were the 60s, 80s, you know, put them into decades.
Yep.
And then scan them one by one, so I had all these piles rather than the books. And now they're all just on my computer screen.
Yeah.
Just bring up, there's 50 albums of...
Yeah.
And that's how it's done now.
Some things about modern life and progress are good, man.
Actually, digital camera thing is brilliant for when you're going around Europe, because you just put it in and it just puts a lock on, all perfectly lined up, whereas you had to scan them all. It was a nightmare, wasn't it?
It's good for going around Europe, is it?
Yep.
But no good for staying here.
Yeah, you really are going at it, aren't it? I've not really been coming for 3 weeks.
Yeah. 3 weeks, well, you've not been home yet.
That's funny, no one's missed me. I feel unloved. Oh, yeah, cool. Down to my last drop of tea. Did it. Who is this?
Average white man.
Average, is it?
Is this greasy or what, man? Eh?
Well, I like
slippery as a bastard,
funky music, white boy. That was it. I don't remember this one, but yeah. I think I remember most about them is probably Play That Funky Music, White Boy. That was the Average White Man, wasn't it? Yeah. White. Have you ever met any of these?
No. A friend of mine, he went to see him a couple of months back at an Albert Hall show that
I did. Brilliant.
But I don't think that there's many of the original band left, but
nah,
I'm not sure whether that's the case. But Scottish band.
Yeah.
These were a Scottish band.
I remember seeing the real thing in Peterborough.
Embassy.
Yes, I think it was the Embassy Picture House.
Yeah.
The real thing were on. Yeah, that was it. I remember my dad took me to see Burt Whedon.
Oh, Burt Whedon.
When I was about six.
Teach yourself guitar.
In three chord songs, yeah. When I was a very young
lad. Everybody had a Burt Whedon book. If you were an axe man, you learned from a Burt Whedon.
I didn't have a book there, but
actually Brian May initially started with
a Burt Whedon book. Yeah. I remember seeing that on a programme.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the music was three chords, wasn't it? For everybody, from all the bands. When you look through the older sort of music.
Bands. Yeah, beat bands is where it come from.
12-bar blues.
12-bar blues.
Yeah,
12
things.
12 chords.
It was just 12 bars, three chords and... Yeah, it was just all done in G for rock and all done in C for country and all done in E and A for blues. But the 12 bars was the same all the way around.
Is this good or what?
But the songs were very short, weren't they? They were all 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Radio play, radio friendly. On this show, we just play the fucking thing. We don't care how long it is. We just sit here all night.
We could just sit there and just stroll along to the song. getting a bit warmer. My hat's got to come off. Look, there's no cameras to see the little
nah,
bit of
nah, you're alright. We're in the dark, man.
A bit of a sweat on there.
Are you a bit warm, Paul? You a bit warm, are you?
I am a bit warm.
A bit warm.
Did you come over to the Neen Valley Railway when we made the Bond film there?
No.
There.
This is so good.
This is into the jazzy funk. This is really good stuff.
I'm a big funk fan.
Oh, this
good
is
good funk band.
This is the sort of forerunner for Jamiroquai. Before yeah. they, you know, it's what in it before they came along. It is. I like jazz funk. That's what I like.
Yeah,
George
yeah.
Benson
yeah,
and.
Yeah. What? This is the same kind of
stuff. Yeah, it's
it?
The same sort of stuff. And it's great to dance to. A lot of the time, you could go to London and there's a club called the Wag Club.
Yeah.
And you could do the jazz funk spin across yep. the floor. I was a funky white boy. When I weren't riding a bike, I had two lives. I had to go out with the biker boys to the Hell's Angel music. And then I had to put on the funky chinos and go and do some
oh,
jazz
right,
funky
yeah.
with my black friends down at the Wag Club in Courts in London. Brilliant.
I added that track in last night, actually.
Yeah.
I something reminded me
two,
of it.
Two different worlds, and it was a...
Oh,
they had to, you had to sort of
just
be a bit of a... But the spinning wheel was like that. The Spinning Wheel Nightclub, which was...
yeah, I remember.
You know, the probably the most famous song I remember from there was Desmond Dekker and the Israelites.
Oh,
bloody Israelites.
Yeah, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Bloody hell.
But that was a sort of... That was a sort of place to go for the girls into funk and yeah. that sort of stuff in them days.
Christ, yeah, I remember that place. They're strange, you know... Well, even on Facebook, you know, I've hooked up with a couple of people from school and
yeah,
I went
yeah,
to
yeah.
school with, you know. That's been good to pick up on those
few
people
photographs
again.
Back in the Peterborough from the old times.
Yeah,
yeah.
But actually, well, I'm hoping to have a close friend of mine, a guy called Kev Perkins. He's going to come on, Noel. He was actually in my class at school.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Yeah, Dorothy, we used to call him.
Dorothy.
Dorothy Perkins.
Dorothy Perkins, yeah. Brilliant.
Everyone oh, it's just to make me it. Laugh, yeah.
Everyone had names like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you had to, didn't you? In those
yeah,
days,
just,
that's
yeah.
what you did. Now it's all political correct knackered.
We had
really.
A kid. We had a Fuck kid there, Plum. And for like 30, 40 years, he's been Plum.
Yeah.
I was in a snooker crawl once and the police turned up and said, looking for Paul Newman. He said, he's an actor in America.
Who the fuck's he?
Yeah. He said, he's an actor in America. Yeah, and he went... More commonly known as Plum, and everyone went, really? I didn't even know that was his real name.
Well, you, that's what happened, though, weren't it?
He was
knew
Plum.
People as just, yeah, yeah, just what you called him.
He had fingers, you know, because he was light fingered, and his name was Mick Fixture. But, like, you know, but fingers was just called.
Yeah,
fingers,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, I do.
For years and years. Plum. Paul Newman, so I never even knew. I thought he was an actor. You really are getting into a bit of.
Ah. Well, this is possibly one of my favourite Status Quo tracks from definitely my favourite Status Quo.
I worked on their shows at...
Well, I've done work with them three or four times up until, well...
I worked on the security team at one of their shows at Newmarket.
Oh, yeah, races.
At the races, I think, when they did a show there.
Well, when I first shot these guys, I don't know when it was a long time ago. But honestly, man, what a thrill. What a thrill.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so polished and such a professional.
They were
outfit.
So polished at making that 12-bar work perfectly for one. They were brilliant.
Wonderful.
Well, he died last year, didn't he? What's his name?
Rick Barber.
Rick Barber, yeah.
I have a pick given to me by Rick Barber.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Fantastic.
Which I wear around my neck occasionally.
I thought that was your real face. That's cool. I think somebody gave me a pick from Eric Clapton once. I think John Atkins gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah, I think he got a pick off from a show
I've
where
got
he
no
did
end. It. I mean, it's very funny, I've got to say, but you know. You
I've got a couple of photographs from people off like Michelangelo Batio.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the twin guitars and things.
Yeah.
And Labby Siffrey from
Something
Insane.
Yeah.
So I did some work for them. But, yeah, some things are a bit naff, but they just...
Yeah, I mean, I've got to confess, I have got autographs as well, which is something that
The thing there is, I think, obviously from another perspective, when you're doing the security side of it, you can't ask for autographs because that's what you're employed to stop people doing.
Yeah.
So you can't ask, but if they offer it to you, if someone offers you a photograph or a, that's fine, but you can't actually ask because that's what you're paid to stop, isn't it?
Yeah.
The last person they want pestering them for an autograph.
I've not got that many, but I have asked for, you know, a couple of three. Scribe that. I mean, well, the T-shirt which I am actually wearing today is autographed, signed by the Grey Earl Slick, who I've been doing some work with on and off for the past 2 or 3
years. I was looking at it, and because it's got a train on it, I thought you might have got it off Sheldon Cooper.
Well, this was on
the Big Bang Theory. He's a train expert.
No, I didn't know.
Well, you don't know who he is.
This T-shirt is one that Earl gave me.
Ah, brilliant.
When we last hooked up, which was last year sometime, I forget. He did a couple of choice shows in the UK, along with Bernard Fowler from the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
And, well, pretty much a kind of house band, hand-picked, you know, supergroup. To mark the 40th anniversary of Bowie's Station to Station album, which Earl worked on. And so this is signed by Earl Slick.
Cool.
Personally.
Yeah, I never did autographs.
So I do things like that, you know.
Yeah, some things are nice like
when
that.
He just says, you know, he's got a photo man number one. He's put on it.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Signed Earl Slick.
Well, I've got a book seriously signed by a superstar.
Are you?
Yeah, called Nick Elliott.
Really?
Yeah, I've got one.
You want to hang on to that?
I've got to hang on to that. Yeah. In my pension years,
it could be worth something one day.
Yeah. It's cracking. It's got some cracking photographs in it. He weren't a bad lad, you know.
No.
He weren't a bad lad. The trouble was, he made some blurs with that brownie box camera. Yeah, great, Peters.
From the album Pile Driver, which I think was the best they did by a long, long way.
I'm going to have another slice. I'm going
to tuck in, man.
Put another food calories
Norfolk
on.
Norfolk plum, you can't whack it.
Well, if I come again, you need custard for Norfolk plum. Do you want some?
No, I'm all right. Thanks, Paul.
So where's your next big trip to? Where are you
going
back to Nashville?
No, I've got a bit of time, you know, back at the studio and home, really. Well, I mean, a lot of meetings, some London stuff coming up, and like I say, this stuff that I've been working on with Ed. We're going back to his, partly his hometown, although his kind of upbringing and was Autumn Broad in Norfolk. But we're going back to Lowestoft, and we're going to do something. Round Lowestoft, bit of a walk around. Yeah, Lowestoft's a great place.
I ain't been there for, God, 30 years.
Yeah, they're doing some stuff. Well, Ed kind of, his parents are there, and, you know, his background is there. So we're going to go back there and kind of do more work on the project, which will be really nice. Spend a couple of days by the sea. And
that'll be cool.
Have the odd ice cream, you know, that kind of stuff. So
the odd ice cream.
It's the way forward.
It's the way, yeah.
Yeah, food of rock and rollers. Ice cream in a cone.
In a real cone.
It's in a real cone.
I've just remembered the blonde German girl's name from the pool.
Good God, have you?
Rita Bruckmüller.
Dear, oh dear.
She come from Cologne in Germany.
Sounds like a striker for Hamburg, doesn't it?
She was a striker for Cologne. She was beautiful. It was funny. I just remembered her name. I thought,
bloody
Rita Bruckmüller.
Dear, oh dear. I don't know how you remember this kind of stuff. I really don't.
It might be the fact she had a bright blue bikini on and a stunning body.
Good God, man. I couldn't...
She was one of the food blondes.
Can't remember many, many things that you've kind of mentioned. Unless you've jogged my memory on a lot of things, though, over this last couple of weeks.
What bike did you have before the water cooled Suzuki?
Honda.
You had a Honda, little one.
A couple of three Hondas. We're going to do it again. Bit more Pink Floyd.
Bit more.
We're going to do it again.
A bit more Pink Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just a classic.
They
track.
Don't come a lot better than this.
It's the classic, isn't it?
They don't come a lot better than this.
The solo in this is so good. I can probably play the rhythm section on my acoustic.
I was never keen on the album, though. The Wall. I weren't keen on the album.
I like the video of The Wall.
What, the film?
Yeah.
Did you?
The Wall, where the hammers, you know, the...
Yeah, oh, what well, you mean? Great, the promo.
The promo, yeah,
the
brilliant.
The film was bloody...
There's a guy called Chris crack. Robinson, I think his name is, sings this really well in our local jam nights. And there's a kid called Carlos who plays the solo brilliantly.
Oh, right.
Really plays it well. He also does a great piece of Sultans of Swing.
Oh, right.
He does a great version of that as well. There's some talented people around.
Yeah, there is.
Basic facts. You had a great guitarist living out here not long ago called Dave King. Great guitarist.
Yeah?
Must be 70 now. He taught the Bonus Brothers to play, I think.
I think we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, he's in the music shop there.
He makes bespoke guitars, don't he?
I don't know if he makes them, but...
I think he does, yeah. I have spoken to only on the phone. Yeah.
It's just a great builder, isn't it?
It's a wonderful piece of work.
It's played by so many people at jam nights and things. This again reminds me of Magic Mushrooms and Woodbines.
Well, probably it's a lot on from kind of Umagumma, the album that I mentioned earlier on with Grantchester Meadows, but it's in that kind of feel, that same kind of stable of the stuff that they did.
Well, it's one of the great solos, isn't it? It's always on.
Yeah.
I think when I look at the guitarists now, the young ones coming along in the jam nights, they all want to play the solo to All Along the Watchtower.
Yeah.
They all want to play Comfortably Numb. They all want to play these things, don't they? The Wall. There's a guy called Dennis Chamberlain in his 70s in Bedford, and he plays the solo to The Wall.
Really?
He really sounds, brilliant. He's a blues player, basically, but he plays that brilliantly. And you sort of, and he used to play this as well. And this used to be his end of session song,
right,
you know, when the band played.
Yeah.
You always knew, you know when I say, if you walk past a place and Knopfler was playing, you'd know it was him.
Yeah.
There's something distinct. And if Dennis plays this, you know it's him if you walk past the pub.
Right.
His sound is just so distinctive. You know it's him. And that is a sign of greatness, I think, in a guitarist. It's time to go. There's no pain, you are receding. The distance smokes on the horizon. Need a long stick and then you could be Gandalf's brother in Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah. I don't do
You
Lord
were studying
the
alchemy book there very strongly.
No, I don't do Lord of the Rings. And Harry Snotter.
I don't do Harry Snotter, no.
Oh,
don't do it for me at all.
Shitty,
but I read the Lord of the Rings at school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, talking. How you'd be
along with Enid Blyton's The Famous Five.
Oh, now you're talking.
The Famous Five.
Oh yeah, Timmy the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's up there.
The Famous Five were there, weren't they?
Oh, wow.
I think I've got the Lord of the Rings and the books, the hardback covers.
I've got The Famous Five.
Have you?
Yeah.
You've got Enid Blyton's Famous
Five. I bought them, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, just to read them again, you know, wonderful.
Wonderful stories they were.
Fantastic, man.
This is great. I always think of Dennis when I see this because he plays it so well. I've got some friends who went to see Pink Floyd live and they just love it. Yeah, they're just fanatics on it. It's just a great solo, isn't it?
I remember the quadraphonic show they did at Earl's Court.
Yeah, 70s. Yeah. That's a bit weird, a bit of my tooth falling out on the sitting.
Yeah, bloody hell, man, that's not good.
Well, as long as my head don't fall off, you're all right.
If it does, I'll
make a bit of a mess on the floor, wouldn't it? I like that top on the top, Elliot Tour, that's quite cool.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's quite
Nick
cool.
Nick Elliott UK Tour.
Yeah.
That's the apparel range that I launched about 18 months ago. Yeah.
Fabulous. You get everybody nodding, don't you?
Brilliant.
It's just a great way to finish
totally,
something.
Totally brilliant. Well, I think we're pretty much come to the end of the show.
Come to the end of the show.
But I'm going to close the show on, not the band that did the original of this track. But this is a band that I did some stuff with a few years back called The Down and Outs, fronted by Joe Elliott from Def Leppard.
Oh, really?
Joe Elliott, last time I saw Joe Elliott, he's got a wickedly bad cold, which I think I caught off him.
And you've given to me?
No, I've got rid of it since then.
This is the hay fever, of course.
But I used to listen to this band a lot, actually, with a guy called Chris Allen, who we both know.
Yes.
And that's Mott the Hoople.
Mott the Hoop.
Yeah, I'm going to play this track, and it's a cover of a Mott track. Actually, Ian Hunter also was heavily involved in this band, on and off. But here it is. It's one of the boys. This is a biker track. You should remember this from the time.
Like a feeling, it's a
great track. This is better than the original, I think.
We should have a quick look up on that This Life track for the opening of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Perfect biker song for us. A bit like Can't Always Get What You Want by the Stones.
Yeah.
It's got that.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I was.
Heavy chord drive.
I was hearing it just sounded like that. Yeah. So.
It's got a very 70s style,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's got that Rolling Stone feel.
This is a solo project that Joe Elliott got involved in, really, yeah, with Ian Hunter. I think I did two albums.
Yeah.
I think so. There's quite a few covers on this as well, from various different bands. A lot of Mott the Hoople tracks.
Mott the Hoople. Way back.
Or Mott the Hoople, Leicester de Montfidel.
Did you?
Yeah, probably, dear, 73.
73?
Probably.
I remember going to see Bob Marley.
No, I'd never go and see Bob Marley. I can't stand fucking reggae.
Either.
Terrible.
Yeah, but you should have seen the bird I was dating.
Oh, well.
I don't mind a bit of Reggie. I don't mind a bit of Reggie. Life has been good to me.
For sexual satisfaction, your sacrifice style.
Hey, there was one girl got me into Yellow Man.
Right. Really?
There's a great album in reggae called Frankie Miner versus Sugar Paul. Sugar Miner versus Frankie Paul. Great with the reggae music.
Good title.
Yeah. Great piece of guitar, isn't it?
It's got a great end. A great end.
I've had a couple of great lead guitarists, and a jazz player do some stuff on my tracks. And even though they sound great, they're taking away from what it is. I want someone to do a bit of lead on acoustic. I just want a neck and neck thing. And they've sort of turned it into a band, which is not. It's not. It becomes slightly annoying, even though it's a great piece of music.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. That is kicking, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Kicking.
I was just thinking that you'd like, there's a couple of my tracks that I've got at home, which I didn't put on the one I gave you. They're the same tracks, but they've got this jazz player and lead guitarist on them.
Right.
And I think they've turned them more into about the guitar rather than the lyrics of the song. So I didn't pass that over. But
no, I like what you gave me.
Yeah, right.
But man, listen, it's been great.
It's been a great
absolutely
time.
Absolutely great.
We'll
it's
have to do it again.
Great. We will. We'll do it again very
we'll
soon.
We'll have to sort out a bike ride somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You gotta treat yourself.
Yeah. Let's
get we'll one the same trip. As mine, then we can cruise together.
Yeah, we'll do a road trip. We'll hit Europe.
Do a road trip. We'll do the south of France or something. That would be great.
Yeah, bollocks to Brexit. We'll just go anyway.
We can always find someone to carry the luggage in the car, can't we?
Definitely. Listen, Paul.
Yeah, well,
love you, man.
And you, take care.
Love you. You stay safe.
Stay safe.
Catch up soon, man. Bye-bye.
A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.